I saw a small video of President Trump hugging a man. A man was weeping. You know, we need to have empathy and love for those in loss. And we are so blessed, you know, when you can retain things and keep things and not lose anything. But life has loss. And we should never take that for granted, that we could be lost and lose things at any time. But this morning I'd like to open scripture and a verse in scripture and Bible that talks about a solitary place. And I've thought a lot about direction this week, my direction. Am I going the direction that God wants me to go? And I really took a hard look at myself. I didn't like what I saw. Sorry, but I didn't. I'd like to read Isaiah 35. It said, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and the blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy and the singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, and say unto them that are of fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God of recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for the wilderness shall bring forth waters out of streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become the pool, and the thirsty land the springs of water, and a habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass and reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk therein." That's something to be very thankful for.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
"And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting and joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Sorrow is a tough thing to deal with for anybody. It takes time to get over grief and sorrow and loss. You know, we've all suffered and experienced loss in times, but when we come into God's house, there's healing for that. He replaces the things that we've lost with joy and peace and love. I don't ever want to take for granted the provision that God has given me and take it lightly of the times that he's healed me and the sorrows he's healed and the things he's blessed me with. I had to do an evaluation this week. Like I said, I didn't like what I saw in my heart and my life. And sometimes it takes a little bit of self-evaluation to get back on the highway. You can sit on a church pew and backslide and look all sorts of cool and righteous, but you're empty. Don't be empty today. Let the Lord refill you, bless you, and let him take any sorrow or any pain that you have today in regrets, and let him restore you.
Open up the heavens, shower down your presence, we respond to your great love. We won't be satisfied with anything, oh. be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want anything but you. Our beloved Jesus, we just want to see you in the glory of your light. Earthly things don't matter, fade and shatter when we're touched by love divine. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want anything but you. Here we go, let's go to the throne, to the place that we belong, right into His arms. Here we go, let's go to the throne, to the place that we belong, right into His arms. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. Won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want any. The place that we belong, right into His arms. Here we go, let's go to the throne, to the place where we belong, right into His arms. Here we go, let's go to the throne, to the place where we belong, right into His arms. Let's go to the throne, to the place where we belong, right into His arms. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want anything but you. We don't want anything but you. Thank you. and break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. The name we're lifting high, your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we wanna see your kingdom here. We wanna see your kingdom here, King Jesus. You're the name we're lifting high, your glory shaking up the earth and skies. We want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come. I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving.
Hallelujah.
Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, Spirit break out. Break our walls down, Spirit break out. I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, Spirit break out. Break our walls down, Spirit break out.
Thank God for his great love for us.
We had an awesome lesson this morning. You know, it's if you see anything good in us, it's not us.
Yes.
Amen. But it's God. God is the one in us. And I just thank him for his love. I'm thankful that his mercy is new every morning.
Yes.
Amen. I don't have to dwell in my past. I'm not a prisoner of my past. Praise God. You woke up this morning, you got brand new mercy. Amen.
Yes.
And just God is just, he is the epitome of love. He is what love is. And I thank him for that. And I thank him that we have a touch of heaven right here on earth.
Yes.
And we can experience God's love right here, right now. Yes. And there was a verse that came out this morning that kind of stuck with me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, and it talks about us being a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation.
Yes,
amen. And then it tells us what to do with that high honor. Amen. To show forth the praises of him.
Yes.
Amen. Who has called us out of darkness. We were once not a people, but we are now the children of God. Amen. And we can walk into his marvelous light. Amen. We can head heaven, a taste of heaven right here on earth, right here in this service. I thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love. Fall fresh on us.
miracles can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Miracles can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. Miracles can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
For this day, we have gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We wanna see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Mighty river. the heavens. We want to see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part, flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 There is a reciprocal principle in the Word of God that when we give, whatever that is, whether it's our treasure, our talent, time, whatever we give, He opens up the windows of heaven. Try me and see. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. There is a reciprocal principle in the Word of God that when we come and we lift our hands, we lift our voice, we give of ourselves. Hallelujah. And what I give is minuscule. Amen. Whatever sacrifice I make,
yes,
whatever I do, whatever little bit I give, even I give everything, it's minuscule in relation to what I get in return. We serve that kind of God. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Hallelujah. I just want you, Jesus. I want a relationship with you. God, I know the more of you I have in my life, the better I am. The more blessed, the more rewarded, God, I am. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is how, it's not what I'm preaching this morning, but this is how great our God is. See, when we get something from someone, a lot of times what we give back is in relation to what they've given us, right? You know, and if we don't feel like somebody has given us enough, like they haven't invested in us enough, or they haven't put enough time or effort into us, there's really, it's kind of hard. We almost feel like we're not really obligated to give anything back, right? Oh, well, they didn't want to do this, and they didn't want to spend time. I made the effort. I called, but they didn't really act like they cared, so I'm just moving on. That's our, that's human relation. That's how we work. But here's how God works. He doesn't look at our day and say, oh, well, you only thought just giving me Sunday of that week was good enough. I'm not going to bless you. No. Every little bit we give. See, he's not deficient. He doesn't, it's not about him in the sense of him needing our praise or him needing. It's we need him. And so when we come and we lift our hands and we lift our voice, whatever we give him, he's good. He is so good to give unto us. Not in accordance with what we've given, but in accordance with his love and care for us. We serve a wonderful, wonderful God. While you remain seated, or standing, you'll be seated in a moment. I want to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. I ask you, remember a little man this morning, Landon, woke up and came in our room and had that stricken look on his face, was having trouble breathing, and when he did breathe, it, you know, sounded like, even though he's, you know, as young, he's been smoking for 50 years, so he had that, you know, that whole bronchial stuff going on, and so that's why he's not here, neither my wife, but let's lift him up before the Lord. God, give him a healing touch this time as we come together. If you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand? I know there's many needs represented in this house. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful that we can come, Lord, and ask of you, Lord, knowing that you desire to give good gifts unto your children. It is your good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom, God. And Lord, we come to you asking you to move, to work in these situations and circumstances, not based upon our merit, not based upon what we've done or haven't done, but simply because of your love, Lord. And so we come to you in faith, God, that we are your children and you desire to give good gifts, Lord. And so we ask you to work in these situations. Touch little Landon this morning, God. Raise him up, strengthen him, God. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you with every care and concern of life, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move and to help. Lord Jesus, you are so wonderful, God. We are so grateful for the opportunity to know you and to serve you, God, for your will to be performed in our lives, God. We thank you, Jesus. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love, your truth, God. Touch us, help us to be all that we can be for you and your kingdom. Touch your needs manifested here in the body this morning. For those hands upraised, God, we know that you are able. So we come to you in that understanding. In your precious name, why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Tonight is the culmination of our split sessions, but we're all going to be in one session together as a kind of a celebration of what they've been learning here in the general session. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know much of what's going on because I wasn't here in the general session. I was upstairs with the ministry leadership training. But that's happening tonight. We're going to gather here in the sanctuary first. We're going to have a corporate prayer like we do. And then Sister Connie just got a few directives for us in relation to what we're going to be doing downstairs. And we're all going to make our way downstairs for a time together. And so that starts at 6 o'clock tonight. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. Regularly scheduled service on Wednesday night. We did have, via our department heads meeting and on the calendar, we did have a business meeting set up for Tuesday night. But I'm going to be out of town, so we're going to need to reschedule that. So we will get back with you as to when we're going to do that. Probably move it to a Sunday night, one of those off nights where we can get together and won't take up another night of your week. But we'll get back to you on the date on when we're going to have our annual business meeting. But we will not be having it this Tuesday night. Regular Bible study, Children's Power Hour, or Kids Power Hour, Youth on Wednesday night beginning at 7. And then this coming Saturday is a special time. We're going to have our children's revival on the 16th, and so we encourage you to come and be a part of that on the 16th, and then that's at 6 o'clock in the evening, and then on our 10 a.m. service on next Sunday, or 11 a.m., I'll get that right here in just a second, throughout the whole service, right, from 10, I did have it right, I second-guessed myself. I shouldn't have done that. From 10 a.m., the whole service is going to be give way to, we're going to give way to Children's Revival. Brother Caleb is his first name. Brother Caleb Randall is going to be here ministering during those times. And so we're looking forward to that. I know the kids are in the children's ministry. So that's happening Saturday and Sunday. And then Sunday night, we're having our small groups where we're getting together in small groups and just having a time of fellowship together. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. If you're interested to know more details in that, you can see Brother and Sister Grimm as they have set that up. And then we have on the 24th, which is a Sunday night, these things are probably letting you know, that is beginning a spring break for Sandwich School District. We will not have a PM activity here at the church on Sunday, March 24th, but we will on the Sunday morning. So make sure you're here on Sunday morning, the 24th. And so just a lot going on, just trying to make you aware of those different announcements and what's happening. Why don't you stand to your feet right now? Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for letting us know. In case you had trouble hearing, we went to prayer for her son, Johnny Atkins, having a pretty major, serious surgery. And so we went to prayer as a church in relation to that and have a great report. Surgery didn't take near as long. He's up and walking, released already. So I think that's wonderful. I think it's worthy of a round of applause for God's work, heart, and life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you would open to 1 John chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 11, read down to verse number 16. 1 John chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. And then he references that infamous story of the brothers Cain and Abel. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Was it because his own works were evil? Or his brother's righteous? Why did he kill him? Why did Cain kill him? The short answer to that question is because Cain didn't love him. Think about it. This we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Marvel not, my brethren, verse 13, if the world hate you. For we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We know. This is how you know someone has passed from death into light. This is how you know someone has passed from darkness into light. This is the evidence that is in the life of someone who is a believer. This is how we know that we have passed from death into life. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Hereby we understand the great sacrifice. We understand his love for us, because he laid down his life for us. We know that he loves us because of what he did for us. We know that he loves us. And so therefore we ought to, in following his examples, if we are truly Christians, if we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, if we are truly believers, the greatest evidence that we have in all of our lives that we have passed from death into life is that we love. Love. How to know we've passed into life. How do we know we've made that jump? How do we know we come out of darkness into His marvelous light? How do we know? What is the evidence? What is the fruit that should be on our branches, the branches of our lives, that show the world around us that we are believers? When we love. When we love. Oh, Jesus, we love You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for this time together. We thank You for all the ears, hearts, they're here, ready to receive Your word. I pray that they would be open unto You, that we would be challenged, God, that we would once again look into Your word, God, and endeavor to apply our lives in such a way that we show forth the praises of You, God, who have called us out of darkness into this marvelous light to show this world what it truly means to be a believer. We love You, we praise You, we thank You, we honor You for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace, Your love and Your truth, for all that You are. In Your precious name, in Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. If we were to define what it means to live a Christian lifestyle, if we were to show forth in our daily living what it means to be separate and called out and what it means to truly be a believer. If we were to live the lifestyle that the Word of God implores each and every one of us to live, it would be a lifestyle of love. A lifestyle of loving others and doing our best to serve others. For in this world, we spoke in the first session about being royalty. In this world, royalty is there to be served. But in the heavenly kingdom, royalty is to serve. Royalty is to show love towards those around about us. We are and should be individuals who live a lifestyle of love. If you were to look up that word in the dictionary, you would find that lifestyle means the manner of living or way of life that is typical of a person, group, or culture. In other words, people can be separated or defined or designated by the style of life that they lead. As a kid, I remember there was this show and there was this guy that would come on. And he would say, "I'm Robin Leach. Welcome to the lifestyles of the rich and famous." Anybody remember that? And then he would show and reveal the lifestyles of these exorbitantly rich people and how they lived in lives of luxury in their cars and their houses. And we would sit in awe that people really lived this way. That people have this kind of lifestyle. And it was entitled "The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous." While there are many more examples of categorized lifestyle, we could say the life of crime, a southern lifestyle, an aberrated lifestyle, an immoral lifestyle, an addicted lifestyle, an alternate lifestyle, a selfish lifestyle. There are many things which point to how someone lives, as that descriptive term is. But what I'm trying to say is that what we should have as Christians and as believers should be designated as a lifestyle of love. How the world knows that we have passed from death into life, how we live as an example of God working in our lives, is that we are loving people. We love. We love. That is what is the most important of all the characteristics of a believer, if you will. It is simply to have love. Those actions or behavior most prevalent in particular lifestyle will usually give that lifestyle's name or even its stigma. Unfortunately, as a part of the religious community, society has placed upon us some stigmas that we need to overcome. They've placed upon us some nomenclature, if you will, in reference to our lifestyle, and we have to do our best to overcome that. And the only way to do that is with a lifestyle of love. So they have laid upon our charge. They have put upon us stigmas such as that we are uncaring. We don't care. We don't truly worry. We don't truly care about the ills of society. We're only worried about those people that come to gather and gather within these walls. We don't really care about our communities. Might I say to some of that, they have a pretty good argument. They say that we are holier than thou, that we're condescending to others, that we look down upon them, that we're judgmental. And probably the most damaging of all, that we are unloving. That we do not truly love. Here's what I think. I think there is no more important trait or behavior in all the world to the church than that of love. We have to be loving people. We should want to be loving people. Hereby we perceive the love of God, that He laid down His life for us. And because we recognize that, the more we recognize and the more we appreciate that and the more we realize His great love for us, the more we should love other people, the more we should reach for other people. He came to seek to save that which was lost. And so we should, in our daily living, seek to save those that are lost, to reach for them with love. Not with respect to what we get in return. Not with a desire to try to find some way or some foothold in their life or some kind of status or some kind of meaning for ourselves. No, no, no. It's not about that. It's about reaching to someone because they're a soul. And Christ died for them just like He died for me. And so I want to reach to them in love. This is how we know that we have passed from death into life. This is why the Apostle Paul had so much to say in Corinthians, to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians 13, when he talked about love and all those characteristics of love. And he said, listen, if I have all wisdom and I have all gifts of prophecy, I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I have all these other attributes, and I have all these other accolades that you could put upon my life, but I have not charity, and I don't have love, I'm just sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. How important is it to love? Let me say this, as pastor of this church, when people walk in those doors, you need to understand initially they're not necessarily looking for prophecy or tongues interpretation. They're not necessarily looking for something great and grandiose. What they're looking for is love. They're looking for, they're wanting to feel the love of Jesus, and they're wanting to feel the love of fellow man, and how you and I express unto them the love of Jesus is that we love them. Jesus said, hereby shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If you truly love. You see, this church can never become some Christian club that only allows you to be a part if you meet certain requirements. We'll say that again. We can't be some Christian club that says, well, if you don't live this certain way, do this, or we're not going to love you. And you're not, no. What we need to understand is that we're going to love you. We're going to stretch forth our arms, and we're going to do what we can to help you and lead you along. We don't ever want to be turned. We don't ever want to be, oh, that's a closed community. That's a closed group of people. Oh, no, no, no. I want us to be open, and that opening be because of love. Job said this, Job 31, 32, the stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. Oh, nobody was a stranger. I didn't look at anybody as being less than able to be under my roof and under my care. I reached to anybody and everybody. I just loved. It wasn't a conditional love. It wasn't a love based upon what you can give me in return. It wasn't a love based upon even your response. It was simply a love. It says, I love you. You might say, well, Brother Wells, we'd never shut the doors of this church to anybody.
I'm not talking about shutting the doors of the church. What I'm talking about is shutting the doors of our heart. Those doors can be wide open, but if they feel like it's closed when they come in, we need to love. We need to love. This is how they know. This is how the world will know that we have passed from death into light. This is how they know that we've come from darkness into light. This is if we have love. If we love people individually and collectively, we all need a baptism of love. The Bible tells us you cannot say you love God and hate your brother. It's not possible. Can't say that I love God if I have ill will and I have hate towards my brother. I can't. The Word of God tells me that. I must have love. Jesus said in Matthew 22, beginning in verse number 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Go all the way back to the commandments given to the children of Israel. The law written upon tables of stone. The law that they would live by. And you look at those commandments and all 10 of them have to do with one of two things. Either my love to God or my love to fellow man. It's love this way and it's love this way. It is the cross. It is the perfect depiction of love. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were estranged and while we were living wickedly and while we were steeped in sin, His love for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Should never be that people walk in these doors and leave still looking for love. If they're looking for love and they walk in those doors, I want them to find it. I want them to find it in what we say and how we respond and how we open our arms and say, welcome, brother, welcome, sister. We're glad to have you here. Anything we can do to help you, anything we can do, we just want you to know. See, and even if they come looking for something else, they should still get love. They should still find love. Within the walls of this building, within the walls of our life, they should be open and love should be pouring out. So that begs the question, then why don't we love as we should? Because let's face it, we don't. We don't. I thought I'd get at least one or two amens out of that. Don't. None of us love as we should. None of us truly take the biblical example of love and live it out on a day-to-day basis. We just don't. I'm not making excuses for it. It's just the reality of what is. I don't love everybody as I should. Neither do you. But if I truly want to be an example of those that have passed from death into life, then I must love the brethren. I must attempt in my day-to-day living and my walk in relationship with God that I'm loving. So why don't I? Why don't we always love as we should? Well, let's talk about what some love inhibitors are. What are some things that inhibit us loving the way we should love? One is fear. I'm afraid I'll do it wrong or say the wrong thing and I'm scared I'll only make matters worse. I'm fearful. I don't know what to say. I don't know really how to approach them. I'm just scared, Pastor. I don't want to mess it up. We realize in not saying anything at all, we've already messed it up. Not reaching to them and not saying something and not reaching for the soul and not saying, hey, glad, whatever it is, to somehow express some expression of love. There is no replacement for sincerity. There's no replacement for really reaching out for someone. Oh, I would go and pray for so-and-so, but I don't know what to say. I would invite so-and-so to a Bible study, but I'm afraid of rejection. Listen, we need to understand that one of the great inhibitors to true love is fear. I'm scared. I don't know how to respond. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Should I not? I don't know how they can respond, how they're not going to respond. I don't know. I'm struggling whether I should or shouldn't. You know what that is? That's torment. I don't know if I should. I don't know what I should say. If I say it, it's going to be wrong. I don't know if I try to remember the name and I can't remember the name. They've been here before. Yada, yada. I'm just scared. I don't know how I'm going to respond. I don't know. Wait a second. It's fear. Fear of torment. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So why don't you just let love lead the way? Why don't you just say, I may mess it up, but that's okay. I'm sincere. I hope they get my motives right. And I'm loving. Don't you know that that will speak in and of itself? That language all in of itself, the willingness to reach out, the willingness to put it out, the willingness to put it out on the line. There have been more than one time in my life that I've addressed somebody by the wrong name. But I guess I've never had an instance where that wasn't appreciated in the attempt. Of course, I followed with apologies. I'm so sorry. But they appreciate the attempt. There is that sincerity that comes forth, and it's the same way in a reaction. I know I'm talking at a very basic level, and I know there is depths of love, but if we can't even operate on a basic level, how do we think we're going to get deep in love? If we can't even swim in the shallows, how are we going to get in and over our head? We need to recognize and understand that I got to do everything I can to set fear aside and not let it inhibit me, and I just got to reach out in love and say, hey, let my sincerity speak for itself. They would know. Here's another one. Selfishness. Sometimes we cannot stop loving ourselves long enough to love someone else. Well, that's a big one. Well, I would. I know so-and-so hasn't been here in a while, and I would call, but then I would get into a lengthy conversation. I might be compelled to stay on the phone for a while, and I got so much to do. Wait a second. Loving is that? What if they need to talk? What if there's something serious going on in their life and they need somebody? They need to express it. Well, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We should. That's how we know that we've passed from death into life. That's how they know that I'm truly called out of darkness into this marvelous light, that I'm willing to sacrifice my time. I'm willing to set my schedule aside because Philippians 2:4, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When will I learn to put others' needs ahead of my own? Because that's what Jesus did. That's the kind of life that he lived. You want to talk about an unselfish life? He lived an absolutely unselfish life. He went about doing good for others. His very existence was on the basis of doing for others. King of kings and Lord of lords, God manifested in flesh, came down and served the creation he created. Gave of himself for you and for me. What an example of love. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. How we ever expect them to love the things of God, the people of God, the church of God, if the people of God and the church of God does not love them first. We reach for them, we love them, and we need less selfishness and a whole lot more selflessness. Where I think of myself less and I think of others more. It is a lifestyle of love. See, more than I want to impress people with my ability to talk on certain subjects, more than I want to impress people with my intellect or my education, I want people to feel love when they interact with me. Ever want to attach anything to my life, I want them to say, he was a loving man. He was a loving individual. You could come to him and talk to him about absolutely anything. You didn't have to worry about feeling judged. You didn't have to worry about being looked down upon. You know, he loved. Is that not what we want in relation to other people? Is that not what we want in relation even to God? That we can come to him and we know that his great love wherewith he loves us, that he doesn't look down upon us, that he does his best, and he wants to be in our lives to help us. Why would we not do the same for others? Why would we not want that same interaction with others? Not some fake, make you feel good, charismatic facade. That's not what I'm talking about. Not some painted on smile that people can see right through. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a genuine love. A care that is truly expressed, something that is said, sometimes even without words, but just in actions and things that we do. A true example of love. You see, I want people to know that I know, but still know that I love them. I'll say that again. I want people to know that I know, but know that I still love them. Because I want this with God. He already knows, but he still loves me. He already knows, but he still loves me. He already knows what I've done. He already knows the mistakes I've made. He already knows the faults and the fails. He already knows, but he loves me. And I want to have that same kind of love to my brothers and sisters. I want you to know that I know, but know that I still love you. I want you to, you need to understand there's something to be said for transparency. There's something to be said where we can feel the comfortability to be candid. One of the reasons why we don't have the love that we should is because we don't feel the comfortability to express ourselves as we should. Why? Because we're afraid of things like judgment. We're afraid of people condescending and looking down upon us. We're afraid of their opinion and how I'll look in their eyes after it's all done and after I've said what I said and now I've come forward with this and no. What would it be like? What would it be like? People would come to us knowing that they're going to leave feeling better. That they're going to leave feeling better about themselves. I've said this for a long time. I continue to say it. Love is not blind. Lust is blind, but love is not. Love is not blind. Love is perfect vision with a forgiving heart and an understanding mind. Love is looking at a situation and a circumstance and say, but for the grace of God, so go I. Love is reaching down to someone and say, hey, we've all made mistakes. We've all been there, but we need to lift each other up and encourage one another. We need to walk. We need to make that transition from death into life. We need to walk out of this darkness into some marvelous light. You want to know how we do that? We go hand in hand in love. We recognize, brothers and sisters, I need you and you need me. And together we love one another all the way to glory. I'm going to love you right into heaven. You love me right into heaven. We're just going to love each other. Here's the thing with love, though. Sometimes love is tough. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes some of the most loving things that have been said to me in my life have hurt me, but they didn't harm me. Most loving things that have been said to me in my life. People that I knew loved me. I didn't question their motive. I didn't think, well, they're just saying this because of this situation. I knew that they loved me. And they loved me enough to tell me something. And they loved me enough to say, hey, you need to recognize this in your life. They loved me enough to point out my fault, not in a judgmental way, not in a way that made me feel less of a person, but in a way that showed me that they loved me. At the time, it stung. looking back on it now, I realize that was one of the most loving things they could have ever done for me. Because they helped me. And what hurt me, it didn't harm me. Matter of fact, it helped me. And as I look back on that, I thank God for those people in my life who love me enough. People come in these walls and they sit in these pews and they hear messages from across this pulpit. I hope that whatever I say and whatever I express, they understand it comes from a heart of love. And I truly want us all to be better. And I truly want to provoke to love and to good works. That I truly want to give you an attaboy and an attagirl. And sometimes in doing that, I got to say, hey, you got to watch this area of your life. Hey, I love you enough to tell you, you got to be careful around this. Hey, I love you enough to be careful. Stop considering those things. I love you enough to try to steer you in a right direction. Not to point out you're wrong, but to help us all be right. To love. How do we know that we've passed from death into life? You see, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. One thing we need more than anything else is love. I'm closing, you can stand to your feet. Jesus in Matthew 24 talking about being hated of all men for his name's sake, being delivered up to rulers. All those things that would happen as a result of persecution and suffering. Jesus said this, Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. As this world becomes increasingly steeped in sin, as iniquity abounds, they fall further and further away from God. What we can ill afford to allow to have happen in the church is for our love to wax cold. People have to know. When they've been rejected and cast aside, and society has failed them, and relationships have come and gone, and family has forsaken them. And they need to know there's still people who have passed from death into life. There's still people who love. People who reach for them no matter how far they've gone. People that will love. I know the song you're playing, Sister Davis, what a perfect song. I want to love till there's just no more love. I forgot who wrote the song, but so applicable to our day and age, and not a physical, natural love, but what the world needs now is love, sweet love. There should be no sweeter love than what someone can feel from a body of believers who have passed from death into life. Those who have thereby perceived the love of God. He laid down his life for us. So we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. How will they know we've passed from death into life? I hate to break it to you. It's not the fact that you don't do certain things or go certain places or talk certain ways. Those things are well and good. That's a part of your personal sanctification. I get it. It's not truly how people know you've passed from death into life. I don't mean those things. I don't talk. Those things should be a part of our life. We should be different. In all manner of conversation. But how people truly know how we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Because we love. Lord Jesus, baptize us with love. These altars are open. I want to be a loving person.
Wants me to live. I want to give until
I want people to feel they can approach me at any time about anything. Love to lead the way.
Love till there's just no more love. I could never, never outlove the Lord.
Want to love with a love that's not conditional. It's not based upon what I'm going
to
get out of it. Love that's not even based upon your response. A love that simply loves. For love seeketh not her own.
I want to live.